Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
You asked for it. Here it is. It's a podcast from Apathetic Enthusiasm.
In this episode, we are recapping everything from Grammy night. You name it. Not a single moment will go unmentioned. Plus, we'll talk about other stuff. This is Apathetic Enthusiasm. Because as everybody knows, Brandon loves award shows.
I do.
So he was glued to the TV.
I was.
Could not stop watching.
I was hot glued
to the biggest
TV.
Night in music. That's right. It's the Grammy Awards.
Hot and glue gun it. To the
we'll
TV.
Mention it slightly later. Hey, everybody. I'm Travis.
Hey, everybody. I'm Brandon. And as you know, this is Apathetic Enthusiasm, the show where we take what you are interested in and put it to the side so we can talk about what
we're that completely to discuss whatever mild fixations we have in the last 7 to 14 days
at that time. Yeah. There's a few ways you can get a hold of us. Of course, you know, over on Twitter, the only Twitter, there's no other website at Apathusiast.
Goes by no other names.
Travis isn't on Twitter anymore. But he was at,
still have an account
at Jugglemino.
I will have you know that I used Twitter. Like, I opened the X app for the first time in I don't know how long, last night.
And you felt
because of the Grammy Awards.
All right. We'll get back into that. I'm at Barnyard Cruz, facebook.com/apathetic enthusiasm show. Email apatheticenthusiasmshow@gmail.com. Send us your emails. Let us know what you think of the day. It doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be pertinent. Nothing we do is. Instagram, apathetic_enthusiasm website, where you can find outdated information.
Hyperlinks.
apatheticenthusiasm.com. You can find us over at YouTube, youtube.com/apatheticenthusiasm. And you can buy our love by heading to Patreon, patreon.com/apatheticenthusiasm. Are you starting a podcast? Well, don't use any codes over at Blueberry because we no longer use them. Ah, yeah. Travis.
Yeah, now don't that's do
out
that.
The, now that that's out of the way, I want to ask you something. I want to segue into the formal part of the show. The formal part. That's our segue music for this. How are you doing today?
I'm having a pretty good day, actually. It's a Monday. We record our episodes on Mondays.
Yeah.
So as my good friend Garfield always says, I hate Mondays. But I also love Mondays because even though the weekend's over, you got to go to work, you got to deal with other people's problems. At the end of the day, you get to sit down, crack open a cold one, and talk about the week with Brandon. And so yeah, it's a good day. It's a good day. I don't know. How are you doing?
I'm not very convinced of
everything's fine, Brandon.
I hate Mondays, but you know, Mondays are great too.
They're great too. They're great.
Things are
I hate Mondays. I don't hate Monday nights.
No, that's true. That's true. Mon nights. Why do they call it
nights?
Why do they call them?
They're maniacal.
Why do they call them days? Right, because there are evenings, like mon evenings, to me evenings.
Hey, good mon evening, sir.
Right, I think that's just a natural evolution of how we should talk
I'm
about.
I'm sorry.
The times
exactly that. What time? Where was the? Did the break in occur? It was. The mon evening of Monday.
Sir, you're going to have to be more clear that I don't know what you're talking about. Lousy smart weather.
Anyway, how was your day?
Well, as you know, Travis, I'm no Garfield, but Mondays, right?
No, you're like a regular Odie over here.
I just keep getting kicked off that table and get right back up again. Ain't ever gonna bring me down. I had a decent day. The day started good, and then it went downhill slightly, and then it came back up. Because here's what happened. I'm gonna tell you a story. It's not a story about me, especially not if any of my bosses are listening, which they're not. And if they were, hey Hassan, hey Jess,
go to patreon.com/apatheticenthusiasm and give us your money.
Give us bosses. Your money. Here's what happened. I go into work. It's a Monday, right? So there's lots of meetings. But yeah, I used to have a Monday and Wednesday meeting, but recently my boss is like, hey, let's just have a Wednesday meeting. And he's a new boss. He talks to some people and like one meeting a week. Oh, that's great. So I'm like, I go into Monday where I'm usually like, I have anxiety about it. I'm like, oh, what are they going to bring up this time? Whew, I don't have it. Great. So I go into work, check some emails. I'm getting some tasks knocked out. Things are going great. Things are going great for me. Okay. Well, here's a recurring meeting that I've had for the last couple weeks. Okay. I'm going into this. In this meeting, we've talked about something that has come up. Something that's you're making movements. I'm trying to parse through what movements you're making as I'm tell the story.
I'm listening. You have Monday meetings. You're going to the meeting. You want to hear what's coming up? Okay. It's the Corporate America podcast called Apathetic.
No. I'm going to tell you why my day went up and down and up again. All right. So it went down because guess what? There was a meeting that was occurring. I'm like, oh, there's nothing to report here. No one's going to want to do this stupid meeting anymore. Woohoo! Like I'm going, yeah, this is going to be great. And I get into the meeting, and then some like high level guy is like, you know what? I think we need to keep having this meeting every day. I'm like, well, I don't know if we do because there's no updates until we get word from this other people that they're not going to talk to us. And he's like, maybe. Okay, let's have it once a week, but send me emails every day. Send emails every day. Just letting everybody know that you know, you're still on top of it. It's still on your radar. I'm like, I don't need you. You don't need an email from me to know that I'm on target. I'll tell you that I'm on target when I get an update. Anyway,
on target.
All right. So that was the down. I was mad about that. I was mad about that, Travis and listeners. I was like, come on. Why are you making me do this? Why are you making me do this? This is stupid. It's absurd. It's inane. Oh my God. Okay. So here's what I did. Fair listener. I'm like, you're going to make me send an email out every day? Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to spend a lot of time being a smartass. So I went.
Did you set up an automation?
Yes, I did. I went to Power Automate using Microsoft Teams, and I made a trigger where it shoots me an email on a recurring basis every day at 9 o'clock. That email says, hey, did you get an update? Yes or no. That email, I press the button to say yes or no. If it says no, I didn't have an update. I have a pre-made email all drafted out, and it sends it out to everybody right away. And I made it dynamic, so there's a variable, so it changes the date in the subject title. And then once I do get an update, I have a separate email that I'll go out. It'll be like, hey, congratulations, WIT's updated. and then what I did was I took that. I was so happy about it. And then I took there's an app on Microsoft Teams, 365 called Stream, which is you can record your screen and do voice narration, and then you can put background music to it as well. So I demonstrated this capability to all of my team with background music, just to prove a point about how much time they made me waste writing emails every day. Anyway, so my day bumped up after that.
I'd say that's a spike. Overall, a total win and a good use of your employer's, you know, salary or whatever.
Yeah. No, I know. Yeah. Like,
it's good.
You got to do what you got to do.
Speaking of spending quality time at work, I did walk into an office and in a reoccurring segment that we like to call Travis references a coworker without actually naming them on the podcast.
Travis, mention.
said coworker was in the office with like three other coworkers talking about my podcast, and I walk into hearing my own voice in the room because he's playing a clip from Apathetic Enthusiasm in the office. And it's listen, I've been podcasting a long time. I know there are at least some people that listen to our podcast. Yeah. And I'm totally fine with that.
I'm fine with that.
In fact, I encourage it. But they don't have to listen to it in front of me.
Yeah.
Makes you uncomfortable. That's not necessary.
Right? It makes you uncomfortable. People have done that to me. They're like, hey, I found your show. Hey, guys, this is Brandon. I'm saying something stupid again. I'm like, you don't need to do this. I'll say something stupid to you live if you want me to.
And then it's like sharing with the other person. Oh, no, here's the pot. You have Spotify? Hey, are you on Spotify? Yes, I'm on Spotify. Okay, yeah, go to Spotify. It's interdimensional IRS, I think. I don't know. Yeah, that's how that goes. I really appreciate it. It's fantastic. This has been Travis. Loosely references the same coworker every week because he's one of the only people we know that listens to this podcast on a regular basis.
That's a great transition into my weekly segment. Brandon's also coworker, now former coworker, who actually does listen to the show and called me out when I called him out about the CIO position.
That was great. That was fantastic. He actually sent you a message.
Yeah. So shout out to my former coworker who does listen.
Thanks.
And also, by the way, I want to make this known. He also sent that job advertisement out to my former boss, another friend of mine, and another friend of mine, probably like six or seven friends of mine that he knows. So I don't feel special anymore, Mike. I don't feel special. And if you hear this, fuck you. just kidding.
No, we love you, Mike.
We love you, Mike. Hope that job is great.
I don't know, Mike. All right, let's get into some actual topics. I do want to recap the Grammy Awards real quick because I watched them last night, and there was a period of time Sunday night where I was like, I know there's a podcast that needs to be recorded tomorrow. I don't know what we're actually going to talk about because I spend all of my time thinking about Lorcana cards, and I don't want to bring those up on another podcast.
Nope.
So I'm going to take notes during the Grammy Awards so I have something to talk about. That lasted for a very short amount of time. But a few things that stood out to me. All right. First off. Trevor Noah. Trevor Noah is outstanding. As a host, I mean, yeah, he's done with The Daily Show. He's moving on to other things. But especially after the Emmys and sort of the backlash from the writing and the presentation from, was it Joe Coy? I'm sure there was a spotlight on Trevor Noah as the next big award show host to kind of like bring the energy and do a little bit better. And he killed. His jokes were fantastic. I thought he did a great job. Are you familiar with Tracy Chapman?
I'm going to drive a new car. Something like that.
Do not.
I'm not making fun of it. I'm just, the song.
She's phenomenal.
That's the song. I don't disagree.
I'm sure we've talked about this in 8 years of podcasting, but my wife Sheena's favorite song in her early 20s was Fast Car by Tracy Chapman.
I'm driving fast car.
I got a ticket to anywhere. Anyway, we both worked at a Starbucks that this is like pre-Spotify, pre-streaming music services, and Starbucks used to have a CD player where it would play the music inside of their restaurants, and it wasn't like a regular music CD. It would be like an MP3 CD, and one of them had Fast Car by Tracy Chapman, and Sheena would just blast that song. Luke Combs in the last year has repopularized the song, but a moment from the Grammys that was outstanding is he came out to perform. Tracy Chapman actually started the song and they performed it together. It's such a good song. It is a great song, Brandon. I love it.
Here's what I like about that song. It talks about cars, talks about how fast they are. And the vocals. Let me tell you.
You don't like it. That's fine. No, Billy Joel performed. He closed out the show.
He has a new song.
He has a new song. First time in like 3 decades. He's released a new single.
I think it was like 15 years. I don't think it was 3 decades.
3 decades.
No, it wasn't 3 decades. No way. No way.
We're going to Google.
Oh, well, I guess it is 2024. Maybe way.
The maybe, last maybe. Time.
I'm still living in the 90s, Travis. In the middle of the night, I've been walking in my sleep.
Let's see.
Because I thought I heard it on Sirius XM. But
turn the lights back on.
Yeah, I heard that. I heard that.
First original song since 2007.
So I'm wrong, but still, it hasn't been 3 decades.
Nope. No, we're both wrong, and that's fine.
That's fine. That's You're more fine. Wrong.
He closed out the show.
If it's Taylor if it's Swift closest without going over.
he rushed the song. Like I felt like, and they were like doing it over the, he didn't play the new song. I don't even remember what song he played.
In the middle of the night, I've been
walking in my sleep.
Yeah.
Taylor Swift won Album of the Year. She broke a record.
Oh, yeah.
She's the only artist to win that Grammy 4 times. She was previously tied with like Frank Sinatra, Stevie Wonder, and I think somebody else for that. And now she holds that record alone. And she announced a new album. That got my whole household in a tizzy. Mm. And there's some other awesome performances. Billie Eilish got Song of the Year.
I have a bit of news that I know from the Grammys, Travis.
Okay.
You know, I'm not a plebe. That's the right word. I'm not a person who doesn't pay attention to award show news because I'm on X.
You don't. And you pay attention to the news. You just don't watch the shows.
X. Here's the news I heard. Killer Mike wins for best album, hip-hop album or whatever, and then gets arrested after the show.
Yeah, so I guess he won like 3 Grammys and then was put in handcuffs and taken to jail. This all happened before the actual award show started because the Grammys shows a whole bunch, or like they show the big awards, but they don't show all the awards. And, I don't know. I like the Grammys because it's a cool, like, concert where you can see performances by a lot of big artists. But they don't feature, like, all the awards. Not like the Oscars, which is my transition point.
Ooh.
Because as avid listeners of the podcast will know, I love when the Best Picture nominees come out for the Oscars.
Sorry, I'm thinking of a joke, Travis, and I didn't want to interrupt you, but I have to tell you before you get too far, which you said avid listener, and I wanted to say avid and Costello, more like it. that's all I wanted to say. That's all I wanted to say. Now get back into your Oscars talk.
All right, 2024 Best Picture nominees. We're going to roll through them very quickly. I just want to know from you, Brandon, have you seen it? Have you not seen it?
First up,
Barbie.
Yes.
Yes, we have both seen this movie. Oppenheimer.
No.
I have seen it. The Holdovers.
No.
Good movie. We're going to talk about it. It's on Peacock. I've seen it. American Fiction.
No.
No, it's only in theaters. The Zone of Interest.
No.
No, only in theaters. Poor Things.
No.
Only in theaters. Past Lives.
No.
You can rent it. Anatomy of a Fall.
No.
Okay. Well, you can rent that one too. Maestro.
No.
Bradley Cooper. Streaming on Netflix. I haven't seen any of those either. Killers of the Flower Moon. We have both seen. Yes. We talked about it on the last episode.
Oh, you didn't give me the option. I wanted the option to say yes.
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 The Holdovers. I mean, I know it's February now and like the holidays are kind of over, but The Holdovers, I watched on Peacock. Really terrific movie. Highly encourage anybody to check it out. It's about a group of students who are in a private school in like the 70s, I think, early 70s.
Okay.
Vietnam War is happening, and there's only like three or four kids who are not being picked up by their families for Christmas. And Paul Giamatti plays like the Santa teacher Claus. that nobody likes. And he is there to watch over the kids that are stuck there over the holidays. The film is just really well done. The cinematography is great. And the way that they capture, like, it really feels like a movie from the 1970s. Just like in like the visual style and the period and everything like that. The way like things are shot, it really kind of captures that vibe of those films. So really enjoyed it. Thought it was good story. Yeah. And I'm gonna try and watch all of those other 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 movies that I haven't seen yet before the Oscars, but I'll probably not see all of them because half of them are in theaters and hard to see.
The main one I need to see is Oppenheimer. I do want to see it. And the others, I'll watch eventually. But you know,
I'll see because it's on Netflix.
I'm just so damn busy, Travis. I haven't even watched Mission Impossible: Dead Reckoning Part 1, which is on Paramount Plus. And you expect me to watch a Best Picture nominee?
Yes, I do.
Mission Impossible: Dead Reckoning Part 1 has been nominated for an Oscar. So it's not as if
for what? What category? What category?
Do you know? Editing maybe? Stunts?
Adapted screenplay.
I mean, based
on the book Mission Impossible. I don't even know what.
By Taylor Impossible.
Taylor Impossible. So I was watching the Grammys last night. Yeah. I'm curious, Brandon, what were you doing last night if you weren't watching the Grammy Awards?
Well, Travis, we talked at the start of this show about people listening to podcasts and being embarrassed about podcasts. And about how, like, I don't want to be known as a podcaster. I want to be known as a father and a husband, right? And, you know, those are the things.
That's exactly what we said. Those were, like, our words verbatim, actually.
So I was at lunch last week with a few of my fellow employees from around the California region. I forget how it came up. Oh, they were one of the people, they were talking about making sourdough bread. Like that's a hobby that they have, right? And it takes like 2 days of takes 2 days to make sourdough bread. I'm like, holy crap. And then another guy was saying, like, oh yeah, I built a trellis and I'm growing plants and doing all this type of stuff. And I'm like, geez, that's crazy, guys. I only know how to build a Muppet. And then they're like, you built a Muppet? I'm like, yeah, no, I built a Muppet. And then I showed a picture of the Muppet, and then they're like, why'd you build a Muppet? And I'm like, it's just because
COVID was a weird time.
COVID was weird. I built a Muppet for my podcast with my podcast buddy. And like, oh, you have a podcast. I'm like, no, shit. They're like, you buried the lead.
You got it out of me.
Tell us. We need to know more about this podcast. And then so then I was like, I do two podcasts. One we just talk about nothing, and the other talk about Rick and Morty. And the guy next to me who built his trellis was like, oh, Rick and Morty. Like, yeah. Like, what's the name of it? Like, man, I don't want to do this right now. And then
it's a Wubba Lubba Dub Pod.
And then another coworker was like, oh, look, here's a picture of Brandon. And it was me in my Dolphins jersey. Like, shit. Okay. Anyway, so I brought up the Muppet, and I looked at the picture of the Muppet, and I was like, you know what? I kind of want to do another Muppet. And last week I did some of that Dr. Strike stuff, the Electronic Coliseum with Dean from Geekade. And I'm like, you know, I think it's time to make another Muppet, I'm in the mode. So Friday,
you're in that Muppet making mood.
The Muppet making mood. So I went to Michael's, went to Hobby Lobby, got some materials, and then put it off until Sunday. That was Friday, and then like the entire time, I like my dining room table is like felt boxes of like ping pong balls, a hot glue gun. Just I'm like, I really should make this Muppet, but I didn't. I got distracted, and then Sunday, I'm like, I woke up. All right, let's get after it. And so I built a Muppet. I started with a torso because I'm like, I remember how to make a torso. Cool. All right. Oh, the arms. That's right. I already have the foam stencil that I used to make the arm last time. Okay. So make the arm, sew it. So I did that in the morning. I listened to, I watched Beverly Hills Cop 3 again.
You sewed the arm?
Yeah.
Like just hand stitched it?
Uh-huh. Well, no, I mean like two pieces of felt. I used a stencil, cut two pieces of felt, and then sewed them together, flipped them inside out, and then stuffed them with polyester. Yeah.
As one does.
As you do. That's right. And I was like, okay, now I need to work on the head, right? And I'm like, I got green felt. And I was like, as I'm doing the head, I'm like, okay, I made the mouth with some foam core. I was like, oh, this is cool, you know? Okay, that's good. Some tape. I wanted to do it a little bit differently than I did last time because my hand gets really tired in the other one because there's a lot more tension there. And so I'm like, okay, so how do I do this? Okay, hot glue or I'll put felt around the mouth. Okay. Now there's a bottom. I was like, okay, here's the shape of a head. Okay.
I want to make a really important comment here. It's not like you have like a pattern. It's not like you've Googled a process. You're just cutting pieces of felt and foam, gluing them together, and just like winging it. Is this accurate?
Yeah, that's accurate. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. It's not like you're following instructions. You're straight up just taking raw materials from various craft stores and Frankensteining this Muppet together.
Yes. And you know, we made a Muppet before. So I have thoughts in my head about like how to do the basic stuff. Okay, I know how to do a torso generally. I know how to do the hands, right? I know how to sew. I'm like, but how do I, the head is what I saved for last. I'm like, I don't remember how to do the head. How did I do that before? And the Muppet I have, the head isn't that great. Because it's like in the back is all kind of messed up. So I had like
I
put
have
a
no
hat,
idea where the Muppet is that I made during COVID. I have no idea where that is.
So I started putting things together and like so that I had the head. I wrapped it with some felt. Got the basic shape and my kid was there and every once in a while I'd be like, does this look all right? He's like, yeah, that looks good. I'm like, okay, yeah, like that is all right. Yeah, okay, that's good. At some point in time, because the mouth opens up, it didn't open up too wide because the back of it hit the lower jaw. So I was like, oh, I'm going to cut a little U shape out of the bottom jaw so I can open that mouth wider, right? Well, on the reverse side of the head, where like I had cut that U shape out, my kid was like, hey, that might actually look cool too as a face, as a Muppet face. Like, yeah, you're right. Huh. I think I could do something with that. Yeah. You know what? I can have two different sides of this head be two different characters depending on the situation. He's like, yeah, that's a great idea. So I went ahead and did that. And so I finished it off. I have now two sides of the Muppet head. And then the top of the jaw, this is the, like, I wanted to, like, I didn't know what I was doing. So I was like, I wanted to, like, make a crown. I wanted to make it kind of circular. Make it a complete thing. But then there was like this little crevice, this little like divot in the head. And I was, and I grabbed
much,
these.
Much like I have in the top of my head.
Yeah, exactly right. The Muppet is you. And then I grabbed two styrofoam balls and I was like, I put them in the little socket and I was like, that actually looks pretty funny. Like, huh. And then Chelsea was like, she was looking at it from the other side and she's like, oh, that actually works for the eyes on the other side of the Muppet. I'm like, huh, what the hell is going on here? That's so cool. And so then I added teeth. I did the mouth. And so I finished my Muppet. So I'm going to go ahead and premiere him right now. So here's this guy. I need to finish his eyes, right? So you know, I just kind of half-assed the ink on the pupils. So I want to put a nose or something on him. I need to give him something else, right? To
he needs a little bit more character to the face.
Yeah, exactly.
Scoot back a little bit more because there we go. Now we can see him. Make sure if you're an audio listener, you go to youtube.com/apatheticenthusiasm so you can see this Muppet.
He's not done. But he does have more stuff that he's got to do, right? Like, I need to put some more stuff in his mouth, some character up here, maybe some down here, maybe like a soul patch. I don't know. You know, I don't know yet. I have some straps in there. But this is only one side, Travis. The mirror has two faces, they say. All right. And so I save the second face because the second face is the better face. And I put teeth on him. I put some felt in the back there so you can see the it's like
that honestly that looks phenomenal like that what's hilarious to me is that was your second, like that was the one that was serendipitous, that's the one that just happened from experimentation and suggestion. It looks great. It looks like he was designed that way. He's got like that protruding lower jaw, the teeth look fantastic, these sharp teeth. I think you did a great job, Brandon.
Thanks.
Looks real good.
So that little socket, right? So I put some felt in there. I actually made like a little cone shape so that the eyes would have something that they could sit on. So I can hot glue them there.
If you just took like a strip of black fur and ran it right along the top of the eyes, you could do a unibrow for both sides of it as well.
I tell you what, Travis, I did exactly that. Just to be like, I cut a piece out and I'm like, oh yeah, that could work like that. We'll see. But yeah, so what I want to do here, right, you see that there's this kind of ridge here. I want to cover that up with something maybe or just make it a little bit smoother. I haven't figured it out yet, but there it is.
Yeah.
Wow, 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 wow.
Fantastic. All in a night's work. I was telling you, we were texting about your Muppet goals, and I saw a video online where a guy was breaking down because somebody was ranting about that there's a difference between a Muppet and the Muppets.
Okay. Yeah.
But this was like stitched together with that video where he was actually explaining that there are three differences between Muppets, lowercase, Muppets, uppercase, and then the Muppets, which is a comedy troupe that we all know and love, right?
Okay.
So a Muppet, a lowercase Muppet, that is just like it's like a species. The thing that you just debuted on this podcast is a lowercase Muppet.
Okay.
It is, right? Now, an uppercase Muppet, that is a character from Jim Henson that, like, is one of the traditional Muppet characters. You got your Kermits, you got your Fozzies,
right?
Oh,
I see.
But they are also members of the Muppets, right? So... you're all choked up about it. So there's like a Venn diagram where you would think if it is a lowercase Muppet, then it has to be an uppercase Muppet. And if it's from the Muppets, it has to be from all three. But it turns out that's not the case because from the Muppet Show, there are a few and far between examples of like humans that were actually members of the Muppets in special examples. You have examples like characters Skeeter. What's Skeeter's sister in Muppet Babies?
Scooter.
Scooter is an uppercase Muppet, but she is not a lowercase Muppet because she's not a puppet, right? And she's not a member of the Muppets. And then you have like I don't know, creatures from the Dark Crystal or something, which might be Muppets, but they're definitely not uppercase Muppets. And they're certainly not in the Muppets.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
it blew my mind. I was like, this is exactly the type of content that the algorithm knew I needed to see.
Travis, I think we talked about this long ago on our Muppets building podcast.
Can't be possible.
But what is the difference between a puppet and a Muppet?
Love.
I don't know if there is a difference or not. Like,
I am inclined to say there is a visual style, a type of artistry involved with Muppets that like a puppet could be a lot of things. A puppet could be a marionette. A puppet could be, a lowercase m Muppet is pretty closely tied to coming out of like a Jim Henson creature shop. In some way.
Did you just Google the Wikipedia article? Here's what it says, Travis.
No, I'll show you both of my hands. I have not been typed.
Yeah, neither have I. Well, yeah, I already typed. There is no defined difference between a Muppet and a puppet other than the link to Jim Henson. Many of Henson's Muppets have large eyes, round noses, large mouths, go from one end of the face to the other. Muppets are often made out of foam with felt on top. So I would go to that first sentence, which is no defined difference between a Muppet and a puppet other than link to Jim Henson. And I think that's the key there for me, which is I say Muppet because the Muppets are important to me.
Right.
Jim Henson is an example of somebody that I wish I had the opportunity to have met, but he died when we were just kids. So, you know, like that's a very sad thing. So Muppets to me. That's what makes a Muppet a Muppet.
That's what's a Muppet to me.
I'm a Muppet of a man.
Very manly Muppet. All right. Speaking of things that we've been fascinated in for a long time, though we may just be revisiting them over the past weekend, I want to take a moment to talk about something. This was a world-shattering event for me this weekend.
Got it.
So I went out with a good friend of mine who I've known for like 18 years. Our friend Ryan, and he invited me out to play disc golf. We used to play together, you know, a decade and a half ago. Brandon and I, when we get together, we try to throw a few discs around at a local disc golf course whenever we can. And it was great. It was a chilly morning in Oklahoma with a lot of cloud cover.
Oh, yeah.
It had rained a lot the night before. Not quite California rain, right? But it had rained. So conditions were fair. But we got out there. We played some disc golf. And I have owned my disc golf discs, some of them, for 15 plus years. And I keep my discs in my trunk because you never know when you're going to decide you want to play disc golf, even though I haven't played in the state of Oklahoma in the last 3 years. So, you never know. But we go out, we play. It's a good time. The course that we're on, it's open early and then goes into some woods. You've played this course with me. I know for a fact you have. DeLisi Youth Park. It's got, I think it's the park that was the invention of the Tree Trimmers disc golf logo that I made. Like way back in graphic design school.
I don't know if I played disc golf with you in Oklahoma.
Dad, come on.
I don't know if Stop. I don't know if I did.
Are you?
Are you for real right now? I honestly don't think we ever played in Oklahoma.
That's crazy. Anyway, not, so we're not, playing
not
disc
on my
golf.
Not on my disc app anyway. Where I keep track of all my scores
on UDisc, not a sponsor. Anyway, we're on like the 15th hole. We're playing. Things are good. I throw a disc into a slightly wooded area, and about 15 yards ahead of me is a decently sized tree, and we've been hitting trees all day.
Large,
not
trunk.
A big deal. But I pull a disc out of my bag that I was, and I, as I pulled it, I was like, I haven't really thrown this one much today. I should give this one a shot. I attempt to throw around the tree, but I pull back and just zing that disc dead center into the trunk of that tree. And as it makes contact, that disc shatters into infinite pieces. There is no way to know exactly how many pieces of plastic were littered across this disc golf course. I had never seen that. And that is what Ryan said also. He's like, I have never seen that happen. I guess plastic does break down a little bit over time, despite what they tell you about the landfills.
Yeah.
But
maybe that disc had a lot of BPAs in it.
It must have been. That had to have been it. Anyway, yeah, so it shattered. I did pick up many of the pieces and shove them back into my disc bag. But yeah, anyway, it was great getting out playing disc golf. I parred a few holes, and yeah, it's a good time. It made me feel like, wow, I should really play more and try not to hit as many trees.
Yeah. Good idea. And buy new discs if you're going to go out there.
I maybe should. they're definitely, I don't know, some of them, they're classics. I had some really great shots, really tight, like wooded, like fairways.
Yeah.
And this just flying right down that thing, snaking but around some trees.
Are you stuff
I couldn't have planned.
Are you a forehand or a backhand thrower?
A backhand.
Okay. Yeah. So you're like that?
Yeah. No, that would be forehand.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That's backhand. Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever. Yeah. I'm regular footed.
My elbow leads. I pull across my body and release in front.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I switch up, you know, depending on which curve I need. Right.
Sure. Sure. I mean, there's an occasion for all things.
Yeah. Because I'm right-handed, the disc will tend to curve to the left. But if it's a curve to the right, I'm going to throw backhanded or forehanded, so I can get the curve to go the other way and around.
Can you get relatively the same amount of distance from either throw?
Well, the good news is, Travis, I'm a small guy, and everybody throws so much further than me. I am not a distance thrower. I can't do it. I've tried. Yeah. I've tried to work on it.
I feel like there's finesse to it that if I learned it, I maybe could figure it out. Because I know it's not just brute force. It can't be. Because I've seen really, you know, small statured people just zing those suckers.
Yeah. I mean, I would never be in a competition because I can't throw very far. But I saw fun. Anyway, I can get generally a good amount of distance on both throws. It just depends on the lay of the particular hole that we're on. Okay. That was the question I had.
When was the last time you got out and played disc golf?
I went with my dad and my brother maybe about a month or two ago. Little course out here. It was nice and fun. Yeah.
I have absolutely no excuses to not go out and play the course that I played this last weekend more often. It's really not that far from where I live or places that I go to regularly. I should go out and touch grass and break discs. Yeah.
You should indeed, my friend. So while you were doing that was Saturday for you? Friday or Saturday?
Saturday.
Yeah.
Yep. Packed Saturday.
Packed Saturday. What I ended up doing on Saturday, I think that, you know, this will, we're 43 minutes in. Let me take up 27 minutes of your time.
I yield my time, sir.
No. So my nephew, his birthday, was this past weekend. And so the family we're very big on birthdays, and we're like, we want the kids to do things that they want to do. And have fun, you know, like it's your birthday. It's got to be a special day, all that type of stuff. So, my nephew, he's wanted to play D&D for a long time. And I was like, you know, like It'd be fun, like set up just some characters and then do some D&D for them, and you know, have them fun like that. So we went out to my in-laws, and I was like, you know what? Instead of, well, partially it was me being lazy. I was like, you know what? Actually, instead of doing that, because it's the day of, let me pull up the D&D Adventure Begins board game that I bought a good handful of years ago. And what it is like, it's D&D light. It's super D&D light. So you do have a D20, you have a DM, like whenever you get into a combat, like at most damage you'll do is like 3. The players, their health caps out at 10. And the monster that has the highest health is like the end boss, which has like 20 health. So the way that game works is there's 4 boards, 4 different areas in the world of D&D. So Neverwinter, you have some dungeons, you have the Mount Doom-esque, you know, fire thing. And you're going through there. And each space you go to, each space your character, their characters go through, when they move to a new space, you pull a card. So the DM has like a little deck of cards. He pulls a card from that particular dungeon and reads what's on it. It's either a battle or it's a situation. So it might be like, you come up upon a gnoll and he's got a shiny coin. What do you do? And then on the back of the card, it says, A, take it from him. B, ignore him. And then it'll tell you the result on the bottom of the card. So it'll be like, you know,
okay.
You know. But there's opportunity there for flavor too, right? So
sure.
And like each character has a backpack card, which has 4 different items on there. So it's like rope, pickaxe, climbing harness, and mandolin. And so sometimes like your characters will be like, I wanna use my mandolin to try to charm them. And just like in real D&D, where you can be like, yeah, all right. Yeah, you can do that. Just roll a D20, right? Like you go and do that.
Yeah, sure, go for it.
And so I took it over there, my nephew and my son, and I DM'd for them a game, and they had fun, and my kid was like, I want a DM. Like, it's not your birthday. and so my nephew's like, can I try? I'm like, yeah, you can try, but the game takes like an hour to play. So I'm like, go and try. I'm gonna go hang out with the family for a little bit. And then a little bit later, he's like, hey, do you want to play some more? I'm like, yeah, sure, all right. So the 3 of us went into the back area, set it up again, and then he DM'd the story, and he changed some stuff up. He's like, okay, you go back to you can go back to the shop and buy an item. And, oh, you killed this monster? Okay, well, so you take the corpse from the monster. If you go back to the shop, you can sell it for an extra coin, you know? And like, it was cool. It was cool. It's like a good introduction to, like, what D&D can be with a little bit more structure for the kids to be like, okay, yeah, this is what this is about. This is how you use your imagination to go forward with it.
It's like bowling with the bumpers turned up.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
like,
that's great, yeah.
Like you can still perform the same actions to a degree, but there's less risk and it helps guide you a little bit more, right? I think that's the issue that I've had with some of the games that I've tried to play with my kids, where I DM'd like a one shot or something, without leading them too terribly. Sometimes there'd be situations where I'm like, all right, here you are, you're in this thing, what do you want to do? And they're like, I don't know. Like they don't know what they can do. And until they've played a little bit more and gotten a sense for what you can and can't do and what is allowed within the structure of D&D, like you can't just make up some random thing that's out of nowhere, but you can flex your creativity a little bit to try and come up with unique solutions.
I
think that having a board game structure kind of introduces you to those concepts without, and still maintains the spirit of a role play.
Yeah, and like just enough structure to let you be able to do things here and there. Like for example, my nephew, they fought a dragonborn monster or something like that. Not a dragonborn monster, but like a dragon monster, a basilisk. It was a basilisk, mm-hmm. And So they're about to kill it, and he's like, can I tame it instead? Yeah, I don't know. Sure. Yeah, let's try it out.
Roll d20.
Let's see what you get. And I told him, like, in my head, I picked a number that you have to beat in order to get this basilisk. And I chose 15 or whatever. And he rolled a 15, and I'm like, all right, cool. You got it. You know? So then he got it, and he's like, so what does this do? I'm like, I don't know. It'll give you advantage on something later. So it just means, like, you can roll again if you want to use it for that. So, oh, cool. So then when we went into his game, like, that, those are the types of things he was doing. He's like, my kid was like, I want to tame this monster. He's like, okay, well, it's at full health right now. So, and he takes a little bit of, like, Pokemon mechanics. He's like, he's at full health right now, so you're not going to be able to tame it. It's going to be like a 19. And then I'm like, okay.
He's like, hold on. I've got these berries.
Yeah. I've got a master dungeon ball. So it was really cool being able to see that and being able to do that for his birthday. Because we played that all the way until the end of the night. And then everybody was like, okay, guys, it's time to go. And usually I'm the one who's like, hey, Chelsea, is it time to go yet? Instead, Stacy comes over. Okay, guys, you know, everyone's about to leave. And then she walks off. And Chelsea's like, hey, everybody. Oh, it's almost time to go. Okay. And then Robert comes over. Hey guys, it looks like people are heading out, and we're like, one more battle, one more. You know, so it was fun, good times, and I think he had a good time.
Okay, Brandon, the cops are here.
The house is on fire. Can't do it. Got to kill this Kraken.
Yeah, that's what they say. It sounds awesome, and great job. You know. Shaping the nerds of the future by introducing them to such things as role-playing games. That's fantastic. All right. I think that's it. How is life out there in stormy California? You doing all right? You washing away or what's up?
Yeah, no, I'm doing good. I was at this conference the other day, and they said the host was like, there's that song that says it never rains in Southern California, but we see that that's not true. And I was like, oh yeah, I know that. I know that song. That's a good song. And then she's like, by Tony Tone. I'm like, oh, that's not the version I know. I know there's another song that's older that says it never rains in Southern California, but man, when it pours, it pours. And then I found out that those are two different songs. They have the same title, but they have completely different lyrics. Completely different melodies. They're not the same song at all. Anyway, but when she said that, I was like, wow. Yeah, woo! I love that song. It's the wrong song.
Tony Tone. All right. That's a Rick and Morty reference that we're gonna end with. As always, thank you so much for listening to this podcast. We're so glad that you tune into it. If you're subscribed, thank you for subscribing. If you're not yet subscribed, go ahead and do that, whether that's on YouTube or your podcatcher of choice. We are going to head over to do our Patreon only post show. If you want to see bonus content, including the short video of my broken disc pieces all over the disc golf course,
can't wait.
Head over to patreon.com/apatheticenthusiasm for all of that additional content. That's it for now. Until next time, I'm Travis.
And I'm Brandon. Thank you all for listening. Bye. 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 Bye.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.